Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing last night's Royal Rumble, among some other things, at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. And we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get started with the Royal Rumble, I do want to say this. Very close personal friend of mine, actually, and by the way, a co-worker in the Wrestling Federation I belong to, was actually at the show last night, texted me and said, at the end, what a great show. And then this morning texted me and said, I watched it when I got home. And I think maybe I was caught up a little bit in the excitement because it didn't seem quite as great watching it as it did being there live, which is usually the rule. Now, my opinion is probably going to be a little bit controversial, and it's probably not going to be the opinions of my panel, and it may not be your opinion listening, and everyone is free to disagree. But I was tremendously let down by last night's Royal Rumble. I had said, and I went on the record saying, this could be the best one ever. You have clearly shown that there are four or five people who could win it. There's that wild card of will Seth Rollins be ready and we don't know. That could affect who wins it. And for the first time, I really felt going into a Royal Rumble, at least there are a handful of possible people who could win this Royal Rumble. Men's Royal Rumble, anyway. And I'm telling you that we'll get to that eventually, but from the very beginning of this Royal Rumble, I knew something was wrong. First off, Roman Reigns supposedly has a contract that says he's either first or last. We knew he was not going to be last. Of course he's not going to be last. The Royal Rumble is last. So I assumed he would be first. I'm wrong. The Women's Royal Rumble was first, which is extremely unusual considering, like I said, he had that contract, but okay. I figured, well, you know, there's a stipulation probably that if he agrees, and he obviously agreed to be second, so fine, that's fine. We started out with Natalya, which was fine. We knew Natalya was going to be in there early. And then Naomi returning was a very positive sign. Now, a lot of people wrote me and said, if you're going to have Naomi come back, why didn't you make her like number 28, 29, 30, a big surprise? I'll tell you why they did. Two reasons. First reason is they wanted her to last a really long time to show how talented she is. And two, they wanted her to have that moment. They wanted her to have the moment before the match started where the fans could chant, welcome back, and her and Natalya could have their moment, and that's what they wanted. I have no problem with that. No problem with that at all. And by the way, I do want to issue a thanks to Todd, who wrote down the orders of everybody who entered, because that helps me a lot when I'm analyzing. So he actually posted those on our WrestleChat site, so thanks to Todd for that. Anyway. From that moment, this Royal Rumble, the Women's Royal Rumble, which some people are saying was the best Women's Royal Rumble ever, for me went directly downhill. Directly downhill. They made the same mistake with both Rumbles, and that is they made sure the first 15 people basically were mid-carders. So on both Rumbles, it just felt like, well, the show really hasn't started yet. Remember when Shawn Michaels was number one and you're like, well, that's ridiculous. He can't win. There was none of this drama. They said, oh, I'm saving the big stars for last. Don't worry about it. We're going to plow out the mid-carders for the most part. this turned into a fairly boring event and filled, absolutely botch-filled. When Nia Jax finally got in, I think she was number 19, I think she did about 12 moves, and 7 of them were botched. I don't know how you botch just one move. It's not even like, oh, I forgot a spot. You just can't do the move, I guess. There's really no excuse for it. Maxxine Dupri got in. Botch fest. Absolute botch fest. Showed absolute zero, complete disrespect for Valhalla, who basically was a joke, like the Bushwhacker, so now she's just a joke. The idea behind Valhalla is she's a nobody. She's a joke. She's something to poke fun of. Let's talk about her deer antlers, not about how vicious and ferocious and what a great wrestler she is. She's just a bushwhacker. She comes down to the ring and, you know, she gets the R-Truth comedy spot. That's helpful to her career. Then we get the real meaning behind this Women's Royal Rumble, and that's to introduce the world to Jade Cargill. This is what they've been waiting for. Here comes Jade Cargill. And they immediately say, the most sought-after free agent, by who? She's not even good enough to put in the ring. You wouldn't even put her in the ring. You put her in the Rumble so she didn't have to face a bunch of people, or she really didn't have to wrestle. And what exactly did she do? She hooked up with Nia Jax, who almost botched two of the moves that Jade Cargill tried to give her. Yeah, she's impressive. She picked up Nia Jax. Big deal. That's not wrestling. That's just a feat of strength. I picked up Nia Jax, and I picked her up again. Okay. And then after that, you missed a running spear into the corner and just laid on the mat because you really don't know how to do anything much else. She looks impressive. As far as her physique, she's very strong, obviously. She has almost a zero wrestling skills, and she's as robotical as can possibly be. It is not going to work. She has about as much charisma as Dean Malenko. But they're going to force feed her down your throat because she's the number one person, you know. She's a big deal. Zero facial expression, zero body language. In the meantime, you got some people really working their ass off in that ring, okay? Now, it was nice to see Liv Morgan back. She hits number 30. That's, I guess, the big surprise is that she's all healed up. But the bottom line of the situation is we do not necessarily need to see Bayley win this event, and I'll tell you why we don't. It makes no sense. Let me explain why it makes no sense. When I first saw Asuka join, I said, okay, I see what they're going to do here, and this is going to make sense, and it's going to be good. At some point, they're all going to team up, but then when it gets down to just a few people, one of them's going to throw Bayley out. And that's going to start the feud, and Bayley's going to say, what the hell, or attempt to throw Bayley out. I knew one of the two would happen. Either they would attempt to throw Bayley out, she would hang on, realize she'd been betrayed, throw them out, and say, if I win, I'm taking on Io Sky because you people purposely tried to backstab me in that Royal Rumble. That didn't happen. They worked perfectly well as a team. She saved them 3 or 4 times from being thrown out. And now that she has the opportunity to hold gold, how in the blue hell are we supposed to believe that Damage Control's mad at it? They should be delighted. Oh, great. Another member who can hold gold. We'll have all the gold. We'll have the tag team titles. We'll have both championships. So they should be all for her doing it. So now explain to me again how they're going to turn on her. They're mad because she won the Rumble? Why would they be mad that she won the Royal Rumble? Bayley gets all whatever and says, I'm not going to take on Rhea Ripley. I'm going to take on Io Sky. Why would she do that? Neither way makes any sense at all. That makes no sense at all. And it's too late to write it now. If you said there was dissension in the ranks beforehand, if they had turned on her beforehand, and then they entered and tried to throw her out, and she was able to conquer everything and win, great. I see why Bayley wins. Bailey overcomes the odds and says, now I'm coming for Io Sky. You guys betrayed me. That's not what happened. Now, there's no way she's taking on Rhea Ripley. That match is not happening. So now you've got to turn damage control on Bailey based on Bailey winning the Royal Rumble? Or you got to turn Bailey on damage control based on what? That they tried to help her win the Royal Rumble? You have totally destroyed any momentum that the face turn of Bailey could possibly have had. Huge, giant, glaring mistake. All you had to do was have both Kairi Sane and Asuka try to throw her out at one time, her realizing what's happening, able to stop it, able to throw out Kairi Sane and Asuka, and have Io Sky come down to try to distract her, fail, and Bailey wins and says, okay, I see what happened here. I guess I'm the odd person out. Well, if that's the case, then I'm going to prove to you what a mistake it was. I pick Io. How are you going to do this now? Dakota Kai is going to get all mad and say, Bailey won. He thinks he's a big deal. You better not pick Io Sky. Why would she? Or Bailey says, I won, and I think Io Sky is the easiest one to beat, so I'm going to pick her. Why, how would that make her a face? The logic escapes me. The logic absolutely escapes me. I have no clue why you would do something like that. So, to me, the Women's Royal Rumble ended when both Nia Jax and Becky Lynch got thrown out. I figured, well, if Nia Jax wins, okay, I guess you could see Nia Jax and Rhea Ripley. Won't be a great match, but it'll be the match that probably flipped Rhea. And if Becky wins, well, Rhea's staying heel, but that'll be a very, very solid match. We're going to get Bailey and Io Sky. We still may get that match, but we're going to get Bailey and Io Sky. That's very obvious, and I don't know how you're going to write that story and make it believable in any way, shape, or form, Mike, because at the end of the day, the story's not there.
Well, what's the term we use? In a corner, okay?
Yep. Painting yourself in a corner.
Yep, writing yourself into a corner. Yeah, and that's the thing. Now, what I did like to see, though, is what's her name from Impact that came in after?
Jordan Grace.
Yeah.
Jordan Grace. Yep. Now, I wouldn't read too much into that. I wouldn't read too much into that, and I'll tell you why. Last year, wasn't the TNA Women's Champion in there? I believe she was. This second time, the TNA Women's Champion was in the Women's Royal Rumble. So I wouldn't read too much into that. But it's nice to see, you're right. But I don't know. I mean, I don't see how people are saying this is the greatest Women's Royal Rumble of all time. There was no real super high spots that I saw other than, if you want to say, Jade Cargill picked up Nia Jax. Okay. What else happened that was memorable? I can't think of anything. You trotted people out there. I'm like, I don't remember the last time I've seen them. By the way, I guess Tamina Snuka is dead or fired or on vacation. I guess Nikki Cross is, talk about low person on the totem pole. She can't even make it. You try desperately to say, well, we got some NXT girls in here because they're going to feud later. You didn't even set up any real feuds for WrestleMania. You didn't really even get some ideas behind, oh, they're going to go in this direction with these two people or anything. You missed so many opportunities because the only thing this Royal Rumble was about was we're going to introduce Jade Cargill, and she's going to be the biggest thing. She's not going to be. I'm sorry, she's not. She does not have the charisma. As a matter of fact, she has what I call anti-charisma. Anti-charisma means she gets on your nerves after about 2 minutes. Instead of someone that you say, can't wait to see her because, like there's certain people that you say, oh, it's going to be good when, you know, Rhea Ripley comes out. She's going to do something cool. Something's going to happen. She's going to say something, do something, whatever. Same way with Bianca Belair. Same way with Becky. There are people, Asuka, that have, like, a charisma to them. Jade Cargill has the anti-charisma. It's like, okay, here comes the wet blanket in the party. And she's just going to stand there stone-faced and be like, see what I can do? I'm big and bad. It's not going to work. She has zero wrestling charisma. Zero. We've seen it in her interviews. Now we've seen it in her ring work. She just stands there and like, okay, run at me and I'll do the move we practiced 7,000 times. Okay, now's the spot where I do this. I don't want to see her in a one-on-one match. You're going to have to carry her through those matches. And if what I think is going to happen, and it's going to be Jade Cargill versus Nia Jax, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt. Because neither one of them can carry the other through a match. Todd, I was a little disappointed in this year's Women's Royal Rumble. I thought really it was just a mock rumble to introduce Jade Cargill.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this whole Women's Royal Rumble match for the women's, this is like the same thing over and over and over again. It's like, no, we're going to have this one. We're going to shove it down your throats and have this one to win.
Right. I don't want to sound like I'm a male chauvinist, but the star of this Royal Rumble for me was Chelsea Green's outfit. Aside from that, I sat there and said, oh, God. Number one, could you have put at least one real major star? I know you're going to say Naomi, but she hasn't. That was just a surprise. Could you have put, like, one person in early, like five or six, to really shake things up? I mean, I'm going to read you the first people. Natalya, Naomi. Okay, Bayley was in there. But that was it. So Bayley didn't have any real opponent. Candice LeRae's not winning. Jordan Grace isn't winning. Indy Hartwell isn't winning. Ivy Nile isn't winning. Katana Chance isn't winning. Natalya's not winning. So it wasn't until number 10 when somebody else who could possibly win came out, and that's Bianca Belair. And then she's followed by Kairi Sane, who's not winning. Tegan Knox, who's not winning. Caden Carter, who's not winning. Chelsea Green, who's not winning. Piper Niven, who's not winning. Xia Li, who's not winning. Zelina Vega, who's not winning. Maxine Dupri, who's not winning. How many is that in a row? Let me count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people in a row. 20 minutes, basically, of people who are not winning. It's unacceptable. It's lazy. And Derek is saying, well, it's impressive she picked her up. Okay, yeah, but I got news for you. There are probably 8 people in the WWE who could pick her up. It's not that impressive. Piper Niven could easily pick her up. Raquel Rodriguez could easily pick her up. Rhea Ripley could easily pick her up. Bianca Belair picked up Otis. But Jade Cargill's Superman. So, and at least Bianca Belair has charisma. Yeah, she didn't when she first came in. Yeah, she had a problem where she was annoying, but she fixed it. And she does have that charisma now. She always had a little bit of it. It's just that when she talked, she came across as very smug and arrogant. She had the look and the feel and the body language that was charismatic. Jade Cargill just walked out like, okay, I'm a celebrity surprise member. I'm not a real wrestler. I'm just, here I come. Terrible. Mike, well, let me talk to Mr. Damage here. Damage, you were there live. Did Jade Cargill get the reaction that it appeared she did on TV? Having trouble with the phone lines. Hope everybody can hear us. me see if I can fix that. If not, you might have to call back. For some reason, it's not connecting. Okay, if you can hear us, call back because something's wrong on your line. Anyway, I don't think she's going to get that charisma. Now, if she was a heel, maybe you could pull it off. Doesn't really need that charisma to be a heel. But if she's going to be a face and she's supposed to be, I'm the strongest face. Well, number one, what are you going to do? You're going to have her fight Rhea Ripley? That's not going to work. Let me see if we got damage back. I don't know why the phone lines are not connecting. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Okay, so the Jade Cargill thing, did she get that big reaction as portrayed by the broadcast?
Honestly, I think they added some crowd noise to the broadcast because there was not a big pop when she came out, from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say everybody around me was expecting Nia Jax or Becky Lynch to win. Like you said, Jade Cargill is like a glass – she's like a glass Barbie doll. It's almost like if you touch her, you're going to break her. So I see what you're saying about her being fragile and not having that it factor.
She doesn't. She's very robotic. She's strong. You could take a look at her and see she's a good athlete. But that's not enough. You have to have personal charisma. You have to have body language. You have to have the facial expressions, the mic skills. She doesn't have any of that. None of it. So I don't see this. Now, luckily, she didn't win. I said if she wins this, that's it. That's it for me. Because the women's division should revolt. There are people busting their ass to get a shot, and she's just going to walk in and never have a match, and all of a sudden, I'm a WrestleMania main event. That's when you hand in your resignation letter and say, forget it. I guess my work's not appreciated here. I think it'll be Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley. I think that's where they're heading with that. I think it'll be Nia Jax versus Jade Cargill. And, of course, it's going to be Bayley versus Io Sky. But to start out that event with a Royal Rumble, that blasé, I think it was a mistake. I think it was a big mistake. So, you know, I don't know. There were people who wrote me and said, I thought this was the best Women's Rumble. I don't know what you were watching, because I sure as hell didn't think that. The things that stood out to me in the Rumble was Naomi coming back, awesome. Jordynne Grace coming in, well, second time a TNA Women's Champion came into the Rumble, but good. Maybe they will work together. That's good. Three, Bianca Belair is being underutilized again. You need to really – she's got her TV show now with her husband and stuff. I know there's probably a shooting schedule involved. You got to get her into the main picture again. She needs to be in the main picture. Next thing is, I'm sorry, Maxxine Dupri is great to look at. She's funny, and she's very good on the microphone. She can't wrestle. You have to keep her out of the ring for a while. Next thing is, Nia Jax is back to being a one-woman botch fest. You better do something, or somebody else is going to get hurt. The other thing that came to my mind is, it seems as though they're just kind of downplaying Becky a little bit. Hopefully she makes that run for Rhea Ripley's title, but I don't know. Also, I thought, you know, Zoe Stark should have went in there and really been – Zoe Stark's another one who could pick up Nia Jax, I promise you. And, of course, downplaying Valhalla to the point where she's just a joke now. So, yeah, I don't give this Rumble very high marks, Mike. I think they could have done a lot more with this.
Yeah. I don't give it a high mark as well. And here's the deal. I'm hoping there's a, without Vince there, I'm hoping there is a somewhat of a deal with them, because I look at Ivy Nile and Jordynne Grace, and I see a female Road Warriors.
Yeah, although they're downplaying Ivy Nile too. I mean, she was in there, and they're like, well, this plays to her strength, and then up out she goes, no problem. Non-factor. Usually they try to give each woman a spot where you say, oh, well, that increases her worth a little bit. There's so many women didn't even get a spot other than just I'm walking down to the ring. Usually they'll give you that one or two spots where you say, oh, that was great, like they did with Liv Morgan, they did with a few, but not with all of them. It's a shame. Thing I want to talk about, too, is I'm starting to get pissed off in general at the Royal Rumble. It used to be 3 minutes between entrants. Now it's 2 minutes between entrants, and they take a minute and 35 seconds to walk to the ring. So they literally just get in the ring, throw three punches, and it's, oh, here we go again with the next person. It doesn't give them enough time to flesh anything out. Why do you make the entrance a half a mile? Makes no sense to me. Anyway, next up, we get Roman Reigns defending his title. We have Randy Orton, LA Knight, and AJ Styles. And I said to myself, it is absolutely impossible that this isn't going to be a four-star match. Wrong. Did they give everybody sleeping pills? I don't know what the hell's going on. Number one, everybody looked lethargic. Number two, whoever booked this match should be fired. And I'll tell you why they should be fired is because every single time somebody did their spot, it looked like it was so planned and so phony and so contrived. Oh, I get it. Randy Orton's going to RKO everybody now. Funny, if he was one-on-one with Roman Reigns, he'll never get to that RKO, but oh, he can do it anytime he wants to now. Same thing with LA Knight and his finisher. Oh, he can hit it anytime he wants now. But if it's one-on-one, can't possibly hit it. That's annoying. That's contrived. And then the whole, well, I'm going to stack up everybody and pin them, each person. That's dumb. Concept of this match is dumb because every single one of those people would have beat the hell out of Roman Reigns first and said, well, whoever wins, it ain't going to be him. And then we'll go on from here. Nope. Didn't do that. And then here comes Solo to break it all up. Because of course he does. It's only a pay-per-view where everything is on the line, and why would any general manager ever say we're going to get a definitive winner? Oh, they'll do it on Raw, though. Oh, you can't. You're banned at ringside. We're going to get a definitive winner. But on pay-per-views, nah, anything goes. Oh, anything goes? Okay, well, then why didn't everybody come in with a chair? Super disappointed in this match. Especially, I would not have been disappointed in this match if it wasn't for the star power that was in this match. I'm looking at this match and I'm saying these are four of the very, very, very best the WWE has. And if you can't pull off a nail-biter of a match that has the crowd on their feet with these four, then I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going to be honest with you. I think Roman Reigns has lost a lot of his heat. And I do think maybe he's losing a little bit of his interest, too, because he didn't look particularly on his game last night. And maybe it's just me, but it seems like he's lost a bit of his muscle mass. He's standing in the ring last night next to Randy Orton and AJ Styles. I'm like, he doesn't even look that big anymore. And there just wasn't the drama that there should have been. It just wasn't. It was booked very plain. It was booked like a Raw match or a SmackDown match. It wasn't booked like a pay-per-view match. I watched this and said, if I was watching this for, well, I am watching it technically for free or whatever, a Peacock. But if this was something they were giving the audience on Raw or SmackDown, I'd have said, okay, well, it's setting up for something. I get it. No, this is the something it was setting up for. So, damage, I'm a little disappointed in this match. I don't think they pulled out all the stops on this at all.
I got to be honest with you. You know, when you've been to live events before. When you're watching it from your seat, the excitement from the crowd, the perspective you're at, it seems like, you know, you're watching something very, very different from when you finally get home like I did after I spoke of you last night, and I watched it on Peacock. And it was like watching two different matches. It must have been because I was in the live event and getting caught up in all the excitement. When I watched it on
yes.
Peacock, it's like I was watching a different match. It was lethargic and slow, just like you said. It's amazing how the live event can get you all caught up and change your perspective of what's really happening, just like in the Women's Royal Rumble match. It seemed exciting from my seat. Then I get home and watch it on Peacock again, and it was a different match.
Yeah, that's why people go to live events, because you do get caught up in the excitement and the fervor of I'm there, and that's what's one thing. But this is why it's extraordinarily important that you play to the camera and you play to the people at home. There's only a certain amount of people in the audience. The home audience is vast. And if you play to the home audience, then the people live, they're always going to be cheering. They're always going to be whatever. And I will tell you this. You were there, so you could probably tell me better than me judging it, but I didn't think this crowd was particularly noisy or particularly great, Mike.
I was actually surprised that it wasn't as loud as I thought it would be. And the pop for Roman was less than I've ever heard it before. I was shocked.
Yeah, he's lost his heat. That's the problem. When you go away for that long and then the whole bloodline thing is kind of petered out, he's lost his heat. Solo's lost his heat. Solo's also went from I'm an indestructible monster to everybody can kick my ass. And, boy, he went from that really quick, Mike, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And I'll say this. How can you have a lethargic match with AJ Styles? I mean,
I do
really?
Not know.
Really? I mean, really? I mean, and look. You're right about his muscle, about Roman Reigns' muscle mass. He don't even look as big as L.A. Knight does.
No.
You know? I mean, forget about AJ Styles. AJ Styles looks like a freaking fire plug, you know, because he's under 6 foot tall, of course. But Roman Reigns usually is 6'2"-ish and about 260, 70 pounds, right? So
at least 260.
He must have dropped about 20 pounds or something.
It's weird. It just, listen, that match did nothing for me. The reason it didn't do anything for me is it felt as though all of the spots came out looking very planned, like dance moves. You'll get your finishing maneuver on everybody. But then somebody will come in and kick it off. You'll get your finishing maneuver in, and then somebody will kick it off. You can do that once with one person. When you do it with every person, then it starts to look like it was pre-planned, which we know it was, but it shouldn't look pre-planned. My philosophy on wrestling has always been this. Obviously, it's pre-planned, but it shouldn't look it. The magic of it is that it doesn't look pre-planned. And when you do goofy things like that, it looked extraordinarily pre-planned. And it just makes me throw up my hands and say, well, okay, you know, this is all just BS. Todd, I was disappointed in this match. Hello, Todd.
Yeah, I'm here. you're absolutely right here. Like you said, that match last night for the WWE Championship was like a sleep fest. And, you know, it looks like everybody was like, don't want to do anything in that match last night in that four-way.
It was extremely lethargic. And it almost felt like they didn't have time to plan a lot of spots. And they just said, well, we'll talk it out in the ring. And then it didn't really work out. I don't know. I just, from my perspective, I expected more. And I think when Roman Reigns wins, see, you always had this problem. I was talking to some people about it last night. I said, if Roman Reigns wins, the only thing it does do is it kind of solidifies that Seth Rollins may not make it to WrestleMania, because then whoever is going to win that Royal Rumble is going to challenge Roman Reigns. That's very clear. So here's what I thought. You've now narrowed it down to two people, Cody Rhodes and The Rock, if he's in it. That's it. That's the danger of the Royal Rumble when you have the title match before it, is that even if you don't have a title match, even if you say, well, the champion's going to stay the champion, well, then it's very clear who's going to win it. So I was a little disappointed. I said, Roman Reigns wins. That cuts down the Rumble considerably. But my disappointment continues. We then have Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens. And Logan Paul has been extraordinarily impressive. And he's still impressive with his mannerisms, his body language, his facial expressions. Very impressive that way. And he's a natural athlete. There's absolutely no question about it. You know, we're all saying how great Jade Cargill is. Hell, he dusts Jade Cargill as far as an athlete, and he's not even a wrestler. But you can't have this kind of ending to a pay-per-view match. So what you're telling me is Kevin Owens is so dumb that he uses the brass knuckles and doesn't know enough to discard them? Because he's never been a heel. He doesn't realize the referee's going to see brass knuckles on his fingers, right? If you're going to do that kind of finish, the referee's got to catch him hitting him with the brass knuckles. Now, had I booked that match, I would have counted the three count. And then I would have had somebody present the brass knuckles or something, and then the referee say, okay, the decision's reversed. If you want to get another match out of this, which I presume is where that's heading, that would have been better. But Kevin Owens technically won, but then the referee reverses the decision. Having the referee stop the count in the middle because he just happened to notice brass knuckles, that's not an ending to a pay-per-view match. That's an ending to a Raw match or a SmackDown match. Again, that's the same thing. This felt like Raw and SmackDown. It didn't feel like a major pay-per-view. This is a major pay-per-view. It did not feel like it. I also think Logan Paul didn't get to pull off a lot of the good stuff he normally does, and I am getting a little bit tired of him bringing in his pals from his radio show to hand him weapons. You going to do that every match? Is that what's going to be every match? So now we've got Roman Reigns, who solo comes out every single match. And now we've got, apparently, Logan Paul, who has an entourage of people who come out every single match. Can we come up with something different? So, Mr. Damage, I'm a little disappointed in this. You don't pay your money to see this kind of ending at a premium live event. I'm sorry, you just don't.
Everybody around me moaned and groaned at the old, oh, referee saw the weapon that the good guy used, that the bad guy brought in. It's been done how many times in history? Everybody
only
groaned.
A zillion. Yep.
Very
old-fashioned, nonsense, BS, crapola booking that's fine if it's the TV show, but not if it's a pay-per-view. You know what would have been really cool? Count the goddamn three count. Give Kevin Owens the title. And then have Logan Paul say, I'm going to show up Monday night and show you that he used brass knuckles. And have him say, well, the referee's decision is final, but you do get your rematch. I'd be more interested in that. At least there's a storyline behind it where Kevin Owens could say, oh, you didn't show the rest of the tape, though, did you? Who brought the brass knuckles? It would have been much, much, much more interesting. This was just ridiculous. It's just bad booking all the way around, Mike. It's lazy booking, really.
You know, this brass knuckle spot, or better yet, let's use what Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the coal miner's glove spot, has been done for how many years? For how many decades? All right. I mean, usually when I remember seeing Hacksaw Jim Duggan do the whole coal miner's glove spot. He comes in, he hits the guy, he turns around, he sticks it down in his place, he pins the guy, or he drops it outside the ring, and the referee doesn't see him drop it outside the ring, because there's a whole bunch of other stuff going around, and
right.
Bingo, bango, bongo, he gets the three count, and there you go. You know, and the guy.
I mean, if you're going to do this so there's a rematch, let me go back to Damage, who was there live. Damage, if you're going to do this and there's going to be a rematch, why not have the guy attempt to hand it to Logan Paul? KO grabs it. There's a tug of war. He rips the brass knuckles away from the guy just in time for the referee to see Kevin Owens turn around with brass knuckles and say, you're disqualified. So Kevin Owens can say, I didn't even use them. I was pulling him away from whatever. That would make much more sense. It still would have been a lousy ending. But to to count two and then stop in the middle of your three count because you just happened to notice it. I mean, really, a referee's going down for a three count, and while he's doing that, he's checking not the guy's shoulders on the ground damage, he's checking Kevin Owens' hand?
It's just exactly what you said. It's lazy booking. It's like they came up with the idea in when the writers were writing up whatever they're doing, and someone came up with an idea, and they're like, all right, that's it. Let's move on to the next match. Completely lazy.
I agree. I was shocked. I was shocked that was the ending. I thought they were going to restart the match. I really thought something was going to happen. I said, they can't end it this way. Not on a pay-per-view. They can't end it this way. They'll do something. No, they didn't do anything. Extremely disappointing ending. And a so-so match. I'm sorry, just a so-so match. Okay. Well, let's go to the men's Royal Rumble. Jey Uso's number one. I like that. Because even though Jey Uso really didn't have a chance of winning, you could make an argument that it's possible. But then, oh, lo and behold, Jimmy Uso's second. Oh, isn't that amazing? Yeah, because that's not contrived. That doesn't look contrived at all, right? Could you not have had Grayson Waller come out second and then Jimmy come out? Could you not have done that? No, it has to be those two. I don't know. Good to see Andrade back. He came out number four, and it looks like he's going to be a face. There was a lot of missed opportunities in this match, maybe more than the women's match. Maybe more than the women's match. Karrion Kross came out, does nothing, gets dumped. He's still a loser. I don't know why you're even bothering at this point. I don't know why you're bothering. Bobby Lashley was a complete non-factor. Finn Balor's in it? How come he didn't mention he was in it to Damian Priest? That's funny. Kofi Kingston, no spot where he avoids elimination. And then the insult to all insults. Pat McAfee is in the fucking Royal Rumble. I'm sorry. I like Pat McAfee. I love him as an announcer. How do you qualify to get into a goddamn Royal Rumble? And then make a mockery of it. He doesn't do anything. Oh, yeah, because there was no wrestlers back there who would have loved that spot, right? Who could have benefited a little tiny bit from a spot. No, we got to have a comedy spot. J.D. McDonald's in it. How come he didn't tell Damian Priest he's in it? And I'm going to tell you right now, Bronson Reed needs to be fired. Bronson Reed is a loaf. Vince McMahon was right about Bronson Reed, and Triple H is wrong. I don't care if he can do a moonsault. That man was 3 feet away from the ropes when he was kicked and literally ran to the ropes and threw his own fat ass over. He couldn't have made it look any more fake if there was no one in the ring, and he just did that. He literally turned around and said, where's the rope? Oh, there? Let me stumble over to it and then deposit my fat carcass over the rope as if the power of that kick or whatever sent me over when clearly he stopped before he even tried to get over the top rope. I literally jumped up from my sofa and said, you can't do that. If you don't have the brains to say, all right, my ring placement was bad. Kick me again. I'm coming at you again. Throw me out again. So at least make it look credible. It looked like he jumped out, like he was trying to escape. Almost is in it. Oh, they must have found him. I thought his face was on a milk carton. He qualifies for it somehow too, huh? Ooh. Amazing. What's he done lately? Didn't even bother to have Ludwig Kaiser and Gunther in at the same time. Everybody in the Judgment Day was in it, and nobody told Damian Priest. I just don't know what to say. So I'm going to give you this. Here we have the order. Jey Uso, who could potentially win it, but probably not going to. Jimmy Uso, definitely not going to. Grayson Waller, Andrade, Carmelo Hayes, Shinsuke Nakamura, Santos Escobar, Karrion Kross, Dominic Mysterio, Carlito, Bobby Lashley, Ludwig Kaiser, Austin Theory, Finn Balor. 14 people in a row who ain't winning. Before you get to Cody Rhodes, number 15. So for 14 straight entries, we sit there and say, anybody who could potentially win the Royal Rumble is not even in it yet, Mike.
Absolutely. And as far as what's his name, Bronson Reed has the same problem that a few of the women have. He has the anti-charisma problem. You compare him to Otis, there's no comparison.
Yep.
They're the same basic guy, except Otis is way more charismatic than this guy is.
By the way, Mike, Otis and Chad Gable weren't in it. They were in it, and they're not in it.
Huh.
They literally said, we're in it. And they weren't in it.
Huh.
So I don't know what the hell's going on in the WWE. I know Bronson Reed needs to go. Because if you don't have the wherewithal, do you know how many times, well, I'll tell you who does, and I'll get on the phone with him in a minute. Mr. Damage understands how many times in our federation did we tell green as grass rookies who had 15 minutes ring time, if something looks bad, don't sell it. Redo it. Because if you sell it and it clearly misses or it clearly looks like crap, the whole rest of the match or whatever you're doing is going to look like crap. So what does Bronson Reed do, Damage? He literally throws himself over the top rope and then looks confused. How did that guy kick me out of the ring? If you don't have that wherewithal, you don't belong in the ring.
Yeah, I didn't notice that happened until I watched it on Peacock and live. It was kind of hard to see, but it's almost embarrassing watching it on Peacock. He literally threw himself over the rope. He should have just bounced back and fell on the ground and redo it. It looked terrible. The most novice person, the most amateur wrestling fan would look at that and be like, "Wow, he threw himself over the rope." Even my girlfriend said that.
It's just terrible. I mean, again, this is something a professional needs to know, that didn't look good. I was a little too far away from the rope. So you just grab the guy and say, do it again, or just toss me out a different way. I flubbed it. It takes 2 seconds to do that. You know who doesn't do that? People who don't give a damn. So if you don't give a damn, take your shit and go to TNA, or take your shit and go to AEW, or Japan, or whatever. I'm tired of it now. I'm tired of giving Bronson Reed breaks. I wasn't too good today because I had pneumonia and I wrestled anyway. I wasn't too good today because I was a little bit injured. I wasn't too good today because of whatever. What's the excuse last night? What's the excuse last night from literally you can't even throw yourself over the ropes? That was the thing. If you literally threw yourself over the rope, I could have at least said, well, there was some momentum. No, he got about halfway over the rope, bounced on it for a second, like a big fat rubber ball, and then boom, out he goes. It's just terrible. It was just terrible. That's disgraceful, and there is no excuse for it. I'm sorry. I know people are going to say, oh, you're being too hard on him. No, I'm not. My God, the very first thing we were taught and the very first thing we taught people when we started teaching people, if you clearly see that something missed, don't sell it. If you clearly see that somebody let go of you before there was momentum enough to send you to the ropes or whatever, don't sell it. Just redo it. That way the announcers can say, well, he didn't catch him enough that first time. That momentum could have sent him out of the ring, but it didn't. Oh, he's got him again, though, and oh, there he goes. That would have been fine. That's called covering your ass. He could not even do that, Mike. Instead, he just bounces around like Flubber and hits the rope and bounces on it and falls out. It was disgraceful.
Yeah, it was very disgraceful. I mean, the best part of that match was the chop contest between Gunther and Drew McIntyre. I mean, you got to give it to both Cody Rhodes and CM Punk for taking all that, you know? I mean, really, everybody knows what kind of matches Gunther and Drew McIntyre and Sheamus put on with each other. And those two guys who aren't that type of guy to take that, but and hell, CM Punk, you know, for a bad match, CM Punk performed halfway decent in this match. All right,
halfway decent, but he didn't do much. I mean, what did he do? Punches and kicks, and a couple of go to sleeps. By the way, why would you want to give anybody go to sleep? Well, that means you got to pick their dead carcass up to throw them over the top rope. I got them on my shoulders, but I don't want to throw them over the top rope. Instead, I'll hit them with the go to sleep and then pick them up. The lack of logic. Now, this is supposed to be CM Punk, one of the most, you know, shrewd whatever. I have him on my shoulders. I can clearly walk over to the ropes and try to deposit him. Instead, I'll drop him with a go to sleep where he's virtually unconscious, try to pick up a 240-pound unconscious man and throw him out. Because that makes sense. Now, I have a big bone to pick with CM Punk, and I'll tell you why. This is supposed to be a guy who says, I am the psychological master of professional wrestling. I get on the mic, and everything I say means something, and I'm psychologically as sound as anybody. And you made a rookie mistake. You never, ever, ever telegraph that you're losing. When he picked Cody Rhodes up and said, I didn't wait 10 years to lose to Dusty's kid, I said, he's losing. He's losing. You don't say that if you're winning. You don't say that if you're going to win the Rumble. So you are losing. From that point on, I said, Cody Rhodes won the Rumble. There's no suspense now. And sure enough, you never do that. You may as well say, here's the spot where I get thrown out, gang. I mean, damage, that's like a rookie mistake. You just don't do that.
Absolutely. Everybody saw that coming. One thing about CM Punk throughout this whole match, like you said, all he did was punch and kick. And the go-to-sleep joke about picking him up and doing a go-to-sleep rather than throwing him over the top rope, you're totally on point with that. Totally on point.
And I'll tell you something else, and I'm not trying to pick on the guy. I don't like him, but I'm not trying to pick on him. But I watched this with a couple of people who really don't watch wrestling very much and wouldn't know CM Punk from Bruno Sammartino. And they said, both of them, that guy looks like an old drunk from in an alleyway somewhere. That's a wrestler? He looks like some old homeless drunk. When the first perception of somebody, and this is people who didn't know. When Ivar came out, they said, Jesus Christ, who's going to throw him out? That guy looks like a beast. Oh, he's nobody? Or the scrawny little drunk guy from the alleyway. That guy's supposed to be tough? See, I love watching these things with people who don't watch wrestling because then you get to see a true perspective of what is logical in their mind. And when they see CM Punk, they don't think, tough guy. Sorry. Both of them said he looked like a homeless wino. When guys like Bobby Lashley came out or Ivar came out, they're like, holy crap, or even almost, you know, they're like, oh my God. Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Now, I'm not saying the biggest guy always has to win. But could you at least look as though you might win? Cody Rhodes at least looked like he might win, you know. Gunther looked like he might win. Braun Breaker looked like he could win, even though we knew he wouldn't. Supposedly, he took Brock Lesnar's spot. But the bottom line in this is the WWE went the safe way. They went with Cody Rhodes. When so much more could have been done. So much more could have been done. I would have absolutely loved, stood up and applauded even CM Punk. If they had the referee go down for a second, Cody Rhodes throw CM Punk out of the ring. Cody Rhodes celebrating the win. CM Punk gets back in the ring clearly after he lost. Referee recovers. He tosses Cody out from behind and turns heel. because then you would have had the controversy. You would have said, well, wait a minute, he was eliminated. Well, you can't change the referee's decision, and maybe you would have got a match out of it, and the winner of that match goes on then to pick who they want. You would have got one more thing out of this. You got nothing out of this. As soon as, and by the way, you never do this. You can have the last two guys, and should have the last two guys, be guys who both could win. That the WWE did. But you can't have all five of them in the, at the same time, because then it's just like saying, well, of course. The five guys, the only five guys that can win are the five guys that are in it right now, of course. I literally picked the order. I literally said, he's going next, he's going next, he's going next. It'll be down to CM Punk and Cody. We know that. And lo and behold, no Rock, by the way. And it's still, I'm still getting information saying, well, that match is still happening. Well, I don't know how it's happening. If you're going to throw the Rock in there with a three-way because he doesn't have the cardio to do a real match, you've just screwed WrestleMania. And if you're going to have him defend one night and then the next night, you've screwed WrestleMania. Because quite obviously, everybody's going to realize that you're going to have The Rock be the first night. And then you're going to realize that The Rock can't win. If The Rock is the second night, it's irrelevant whether he wins, so you've screwed WrestleMania. You had a golden opportunity to do so much with this Men's Royal Rumble. And you didn't. You went with a safe hand. You went with the obvious choice. And you've really screwed WrestleMania now because, I mean, what's Cody going to lose twice? And everybody's going to go home from WrestleMania going, oh, yeah, because that's what they want. They want everybody at WrestleMania who bought those tickets and they're in the audience to go, oh, disappointed. So you screwed WrestleMania. Congratulations. It's just, oh, let's go see Cody win. Let's just go see Cody win. That's what we're here for, to see Cody win. This is where Roman loses, so. Oh, great. It's always great when you go into a match knowing completely 100% the outcome. At least if you went with my idea to Gunther and Seth Rollins, there were branches on the tree where you say, well, if Gunther wins this, then quite obviously, you know, somebody else is going to step up to the challenge. Did you hear the roar of the crowd when Gunther and Cody Rhodes went eye to eye? That's the money. You don't need Cody going against Roman again. You need Cody Rhodes versus Gunther, the anti-American against the American nightmare. That's what the fans want to see. Yeah, some of the fans want to see him beat Roman Reigns. I get it. But Roman Reigns' heat is gone. It's not going to help Cody at this point because Roman don't have the heat. Gunther has more heat than Roman. So, Damage, I'm disappointed with the win because I just think it was like the safest and the most pat thing they could do.
I understand. And I have to admit to you, I'm a little partial because I'm a Cody Rhodes fan, but I do see your point that there were other branches on the tree that we could have had a different ending. And now WrestleMania is predictable. So you are right in that respect. Again, I'm a Cody fan, and I was happy with the finish, but I have to look at this. We also have to look at this from the general wrestling fan's perspective. And, yes, it is going to be a very predictable WrestleMania at this point.
And it shouldn't be. See, WrestleMania should be like edge of your seat. It's not going to be edge of your seat. None of these are going to be edge of your seat. And I'm tired of people saying, well, wrestling doesn't have to be unpredictable to be fun. Yeah, no, yeah, it does. No, of course, everything can't be unpredictable. You can't swerve constantly. But you could try. If Cody was eliminated illegally, especially by CM Punk, you have a great storyline going into the road to WrestleMania with Cody saying, this is bull. I'm tired of being ripped off. Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman saying, well, we dodged that bullet, didn't we? Because we know CM Punk sure as hell ain't going to pick Roman. Because Cody could say, if CM Punk is half the man he says he is, which he isn't, come out here, admit what you did. I'll challenge you to a match at whatever, Elimination Chamber, whatever's next, and we'll see. Winner take all. Sounds good to me. Because it's still unpredictable. Then if Cody wins, well, then WrestleMania's still predictable. But at least you got something out of it. At least you got another big main event. Where's CM Punk go from here? Who's going to fight? Seth? What happens if Seth can't fight? Drew McIntyre? Oh, that'll be a great match. When Drew McIntyre and CM Punk went toe-to-toe, I was literally laughing. CM Punk looked like Sky Lolo trying to fight Andre the Giant. And Drew McIntyre's supposed to be selling all that. Again, the psychology. CM Punk is supposed to be the master of psychology. He blew a lot of these things. I see a lethargic nature to the WWE lately that I don't like. And then Triple H gets on the press conference and says, this is the best we've ever been. No, it's not even close. You better light a fire under some people's asses if you think this is the best it's ever been. Because it's far from the best it's ever been. And who the hell decided that Ricochet should come out number 28 or 29? Oh, how exciting. Ricochet's here now. That throws the whole Rumble into doubt. Jesus Christ. That's just terrible. Just terrible. I thought maybe we see something with Damian Priest and you know, the Judgment Day maybe getting into it with each other. You did nothing. You had so many branches on the tree. You had all of your top guys in there with all kinds of opportunity to cause chaos and start storylines and throw doubt about things, and you did nothing. You just let it stay pat. You didn't take any chances. You didn't try to shake the tree at all. You just said, let's just stay pat. Do the easiest thing we can do, the safest thing we can do, every single match. Every match. The Royal Rumble used to be my favorite event. It's getting to be now. It's just frustrating, and I don't like it. How about you do this? How about it's not 30 men anymore? Because there aren't 30 qualified number one contenders. Just get it down to 10. And it's 5 minutes apart or whatever it happens to be. So everybody has a chance of winning. I don't want to see Ricochet in it. It's irrelevant whether Ricochet's in it. And if you aren't going to do that, because the argument is, well, we want to get everybody in there. So they, okay, if you want everybody in there, I can agree with that. But then the reason that they're in there, really, in reality, isn't to try to go to WrestleMania to challenge the champion. It's to start feuds so they have a match for WrestleMania. So if you got a Ricochet in there, get him into some sort of a bout with somebody that you say, okay, I guess that's going to be his opponent for WrestleMania based on what I saw. You don't just throw him in there for no reason and say, well, you're just in there because we don't have anybody else. At least make something out of it. If he's got to go out there, make something out of it. Why are you just staying pat? This is a wrestling writer's dream. You got all your guys in the ring at once. So how about if somebody's illegally eliminated, somebody's backstabbed somebody, somebody's, you know, two partners break up, whatever it happens to be. Let's start some storylines with the people who obviously aren't going to win. That way, Mike, at least it means something. See you there.
Yes. Yes, you're right. Okay. Yes, you're right on this stuff. I mean, lazy. You know, how much more lazy can you get with this stuff? I mean, we thought it was going to get better once Vince got ousted and Triple H took over for a while. It kind of did, but now we're back to painting ourselves in the corner, making things illogical, and basically hurting what you're trying to do, you know? And that's what they've done. And, I mean, and here's something else to think about the whole Cody Rhodes versus Gunther thing. We all know what Gunther's supposed to be, right? You know, we can say he's supposed to be a Nazi. What is Cody Rhodes? He's brown hair, blue eyes, right?
Right.
What is the thing with the Nazis?
The master race thing. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, that's what I mean. So, the storyline writes itself. Storyline writes itself, and Cody would have got a much better pop going to try to, you know, if Cody said, there are some things in life more important than finishing my story. And Gunther has not just insulted me. He's not just insulted the WWE, insulted the country. And I think we've all had enough of that. So if you don't think there's any qualified American athletes here who can beat you, well, shake hands with one. That would have been at least something. No, how come you can't have Ivy Nile? Okay, Ivy Nile's doing nothing. Maxine's doing nothing. How come you can't have Ivy Nile and Maxine working together in the women's whatever, and when Ivy Nile tries to climb up on Maxine's shoulders to do something, she pushes her out. And then you have the thing where Ivy Nile says, well, that was nice. Thank you. You know, on the next TV program, and she says, hey, it was every woman for herself. And then you have the Creed brothers say, well, you're a little bit sneaky. And have Chad Gable say, who are you calling sneaky? Don't you understand the rules of wrestling? They said everybody for themselves. And then all of a sudden, you got a little bit of a problem, right? And you say, well, man, we might have the Creed brothers against Alpha Academy. That could be cool. That could be a good match. Even if they're both friendly and then they don't turn heel, they just got a big misunderstanding here. At least you started a story, Tom. They didn't do anything to start any stories with either Rumble.
No, they didn't. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, in the very beginning when, Jay drew number one and Jimmy drew number two, it brought me back to the Demolition, when Demolition started the Royal Rumble. I thought that was kind of cool. But here's the thing about the WWE, and we've said this a million times. This is not pay-per-view anymore. They're premium live events. They don't care about drawing eyes to this product. They're just like, whatever, we'll just do whatever. That's what it seems like. And they kind of screwed the fans, because now WrestleMania is very predictable. I mean, if Cody got eliminated, you could turn Cody heel, or at least
you could
turn
Cody heel. You could have turned CM Punk heel. You could have done a lot of things. But look, here's why this is different with Demolition. What did Demolition do? They fought a little bit, and then when number three came out, they were like, "Oh yeah, you're dead meat. Out he goes." Number four, out he goes. That would have been cool if Jimmy and Jay said, not doing it. We'll wait for number three. And number three is Grayson Waller saying, this ain't good. Right? But then when the opportunity comes, right, you could have Jimmy stab Jay again in the back or whatever and throw him out. If that's the match you want to get to anyway, and I assume that's going to be Jay Uso's match for WrestleMania's Jimmy, then start it now. Start it with Jimmy saying, look, we'll work together as brothers. We're the best team. We'll be the last two people if we work as a team. And Jay saying, okay. And I mean, when it comes down to it, though, it's me and you, right? Absolutely. And then halfway through the Rumble, when he sees his opportunity, Jimmy Uso tosses him out and says, hey, F you. Then at least you got a little bit of a branch on the tree going forward. Nah, you wasted that opportunity. You got nothing. Got absolutely nothing. As far as Karrion Kross, he should have been the one to throw Bobby Lashley out. Not vice versa. You don't get the revenge yet. That's the whole point. The whole point of wanting to see the faces win is they need their revenge. Well, they got their revenge now. They got their revenge. Lashley should have went out because of Karrion Kross. Start building some things up so that we have a road to WrestleMania. Our only road to WrestleMania now is Bayley's going to challenge one of them, and it's obviously going to be Io. She's going to say originally it's going to be Rhea, and then something's going to change it, which will make no sense. And, of course, Cody, they said it last night. Well, we know who Cody's challenging. So, I mean, whatever. What's Bianca Belair going to do for WrestleMania? How come we don't sort of know now? Bianca Belair and Naomi should have went at it for a while. Where you say, wow, these are two of the best athletes in the women's division. What a match that would be. And that's how you set it up, Mike. They didn't even bother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, they just, I don't know what it is with, they have brain farts all the time through the WWE. And that was
it seems that way. And I got to tell you, Damage, I think they better do something with LA Knight quick because I think he's starting to lose his momentum.
I really feel, and I felt this for a while, that LA Knight should be the one to knock Gunther off the mountain. That Intercontinental title would be great for him, and even the U.S. title would also be a great choice. Now we have a U.S. champion. We have Seth Rollins on the shelf, possibly. We have a U.S. champion that doesn't defend the title that much, only premium live events. We need to get the U.S. title on LA Knight, I believe, if not the Intercontinental title.
Well, let me say this, Damage. As a booker, when I used to book some of the stuff we had in our federation, I would always say, if you have a guy like an LA Knight, who's sort of a arrogant, good guy, but he's not afraid to get out there and say, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to beat your ass and blah, blah, like a Stone Cold Steve Austin type or a Rock type. You got to do something so bad to them that it literally humbles and embarrasses and disgraces them. So they have that come to Jesus moment where they say, I'm not going to let this happen to me. In other words, if you're going to have Gunther face off against LA Knight, something horrible has to happen to LA Knight. Where he almost transforms into a different person for a few minutes or a segment where he says, look, all kidding aside, all joking aside, all catchphrases aside, if he thinks for 1 minute that what he did to me, is the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life, well, then he's led a pretty sheltered life. Because I've had people all my whole life tell me, you're not good enough, you're not big enough, you're not tough enough, you're not strong enough. You don't have the right this. You don't have the right that. And when I finally get my opportunity, he thinks he crushes it. He's wrong. Because then people will say, okay, now we're seeing a little bit different side of LA Knight. Now we're seeing the side where he's really, really upset, and he knows this is his last shot at this shit. Then fans will get behind him. If he just comes out and effortlessly just says, I'm giving you my finisher and calling you a dummy, okay, well, then he never has that moment. Steve Austin had plenty of them. Vince McMahon would do these horrible things to Austin, right? And you say, oh boy, the revenge for this. Piper, when he became a face, that people do horrible something horrible to him, like Adrian Adonis, right? And you say, oh, my God, the revenge is going to be whatever. LA Knight needs that moment, Damage, and then you'll see the fans get behind him even stronger.
Yes, I do agree with you. You do make a lot of sense in that. But if they're going to do it, they have to do it quick. They have to, because he's still hot. And he's going to start to get lukewarm. It's going to happen. LA Knight's time is now, and they have to come up with a storyline really quick to capitalize on this. They're making tons of money with him on merchandise, and the pop mm-hmm. he gets when he comes out is still strong. They have to move quickly.
They do. They have to handle him right, which I said from the beginning. He has to have that moment where he's totally humbled and totally embarrassed, and he moves on from it, because everybody has that moment. Steve Austin had plenty of them. That's why the fans got behind him. They said, oh, man, that sucks what happened to Austin, but wait for the revenge. Well, that's what you want. That's what you need. He doesn't have it right now. The same thing with AJ Styles. AJ Styles is arguably one of their best, if not their best wrestler overall. I would argue probably their best guy, ring-wise, as far as knowing how to be exciting and doing mixing things up and the psychology. He's not great on the mic, But you have reduced AJ Styles to a male Karen who just says, everything's wrong. Everybody's picking on me. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of him giving the stink face to the club and just saying, leave me alone. That's the best you can come up with for a guy like AJ Styles? Is that the very best you can come up with? How about if the OC came out when they saw that Solo Sikoa came out, and instead of helping AJ, they beat the fuck out of him? Then at least you'd say, well, AJ's got some kind of a match coming here. Something's up. Didn't see that one coming. At least do something, Todd, that's going to shake us up a little bit and say, wow, I did not see that coming.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this whole thing with anti-heroes, we need one of those things. Just like you said, what Vince McMahon was doing, the Vince McMahon in the hospital bed thing, Stone Cold Steve Austin dressed up as a surgeon, got his revenge on him in the head with a bedpan.
Yeah,
and everything.
And that's what you need. But Mike, what would have been wrong with making that moment the OC moment, where they could then get on television and say, when we were in the WWE the first time, our good friend AJ Styles helped us to get here, where we were used like clowns, and we had to disgrace ourselves, the toughest tag team in Japan, and we had to disgrace ourselves. And when we were let go, I didn't hear AJ complain. I didn't see AJ packing his bags and going with us. And then, after being gone for however long, he convinces us to come back and then deserts us again. And then he thinks we're disloyal? I got news for you. We never needed AJ Styles. AJ Styles needed us. Then at least you got something, Mike. They're just been doing nothing.
Absolutely. And did you, at the end of the night, did you catch what Cody Rhodes did as he was standing on the ropes? He did the too sweet thing, and he kissed
him,
right?
Yep.
So put that together with that scenario that you just put, and you can have a heel AJ Styles and a face club where now Cody Rhodes is the leader of the club instead of AJ Styles.
I'm willing to do anything, even if it's a lousy idea, as long as you show me that you're thinking, as long as you show me that you're saying, look, as long as these guys got to be out here, as long as we're doing the Royal Rumble with a whole bunch of people, as long as we have this ending to this match that doesn't really affect these other people, how do we get the most out of it? Okay? How do we get the most out of it for the performers who aren't winning? How do we set up their feuds? How do we set up their next step? How do we get fans interested in them? That's how you really should be booking Damage, not just booking for one thing only all the time.
It seems like the WWE is doing a lot of one-dimensional booking, and they were doing so well for a while. You were praising them week after week, probably 4 or 5 weeks in a row you've been praising them, and all of a sudden now we're back to one-dimensional. What happened?
I don't know. A lot of this has to do, I think, with, the internal struggles that's happened. They probably have been going through so much that they really haven't had a chance to really say, look, we're going to break this all down. But I think the Rumble had to have been decided a while ago. I'm not going to forgive them for the lazy booking on this Rumble. I'm not. Now, as far as the rest of this stuff is concerned, and then we'll get to the ratings on this, Vince McMahon stepped down. Let me say the following things. My opinion has not changed. I believe the woman when she says she did X, Y, and Z at Vince McMahon's request. I just don't believe she was forced. I believe she willingly did it. She's an adult. She has the whatever to say no. And if you truly believe that Vince McMahon no longer has anything to do with the WWE, I have two words for you. Pritchard fired? No. Vince McMahon will give his orders through Bruce Pritchard. That's quite obvious. Only reason he resigned is because sponsors were starting to drop out, because of course they are. Of course. Somebody on the internet said something horrible. We have to drop out. So they chickened out. Not only did they chicken out, but then the WWE kissed their ass, because the WWE originally said no to this crazy thing where they were going to sponsor that four-way match, and they wanted all the ring aprons to say Slim Jim, and they wanted all those people in the audience to have the Slim Jims and do the snap thing. And the WWE said, no, this is too important of a match. We're not going to make a four-way match for the Universal Championship a Slim Jims commercial, and they got pissed. Couple that with the Vince McMahon thing, and they use that as a, oh, well, now we got a really good reason to back out. So what's the WWE do? They bend the knee and say, we'll do all that stuff. Then Triple H at the press conference directly asked, what are you doing to ensure the safety of your employee? And his bonehead response is, everything we possibly can. Everything we can. You know what his response should have been? Ask me the question. Marcus, what are you doing to protect the safety of your employees? Well, thank you for the question. All of my employees are grown adults. If they feel that something is happening that is in any way, shape, or form sexual harassment, bullying, or whatever, we obviously have a department for that. They can go to Human Resources, and they can file their complaint. If it goes beyond that into something criminal, then they are always welcome to go to the police. That's how adults handle situations. When situations arise, they immediately report it. They don't wait 2 years. They don't wait till after they sign NDA agreements. They don't wait until we sign Netflix deals for $5 billion. They do it immediately. That's how adults handle issues. So the answer to your question is, all of our employees are adults. They're free to do whatever they want to do because they're not slaves. They're employees. If someone does something to them they dislike, immediately go to Human Resources. If you do not get a satisfactory answer or you feel that it goes beyond that into being illegal, go to the police. That's how we handle it, because our employees are not children. This is not a play school where we have to set up provisions for their safety because they're too stupid. That's the correct answer to that question, Tom.
Yeah, and, you know, gone are the times where the guys used to police themselves, you know, and there was a, you know, judge, jury, executioner. There's none of that anymore. And The Undertaker said it best, locker room soft. They don't have the same, you know, whatever as the grit of the guys of the 80s and 90s. Some these things happen.
Yeah, you're right.
These things happen, you know, back in the 90s. You could kiss a lot of these guys goodbye. They would be wrestling on, you know, the independents.
Well, I mean, we did have that scandal with the Ring Boys and things on the 90s, but the Ring Boys are a little different. Teenagers being set upon by adults. That's a lot different than adults being set up by adults. Let me give you an example. If you're under, you know, 17, you might want to turn down the sound for a minute. Or if you're a parent and your kids are listening, turn down the sound. Coco Beware, at one point during that era where there was a lot of Ring Boys being whatever, apparently was set upon in the showers of the WWE by a road agent who literally snuck in and apparently stuck his finger where the sun didn't shine on Coco Beware, who promptly turned around and knocked him the fuck out. Coco lost his job. Coco handled the situation. Now, I'm not suggesting that this woman could turn around and knock Vince McMahon the F out, but I do think she could have easily said, well, after work today, I'm going straight to the police. After work today, I'm going straight to the reporters. You found these reporters quick enough after you were fired, didn't you? You had no problem finding the press after you were fired. While you were there, they were impossible to find. No one could help you. That's not true. It's just not true. So damage, I think, you know, Vince McMahon, on the surface, resigned for the good of the publicity of the company. But I do not think he's gone from the WWE. And to be perfectly honest with you, I am not holding him solely responsible for all this stuff that happened.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey had issued a statement saying the same thing you said about Bruce Pritchard, which leads me to wonder, how much power does Bruce Pritchard still have? And does the board know that Vince could be operating vicariously through Bruce Pritchard? I also want to say that you have changed my perspective on my opinions on this whole thing. And what it boils right down to it, what it boils right down to is, once the check stopped flowing, now all of a sudden it's sexual assault. It's abuse. But when the checks are
right,
coming, it's different.
Absolutely correct. And again, I want to reiterate to everybody listening, if this woman can prove that at any time, she was physically forced to do something, or she was threatened with physical harm if she didn't, then my whole opinion is going to change. But if you're telling me she was requested to do this in order to keep her job, I don't have any sympathy, because what you're basically saying then is she's a prostitute. What you're saying is, well, enough money was flowing, so she didn't dare quit her job and lose all that money. Oh, okay. Well, then she made a choice. My morals or my job? And she chose the job. That's an adult decision that you make. You're the ones calling her a prostitute then, because you're saying because of the money she was willing to do sexual things she normally wouldn't do. That's what a prostitute does. I'm not calling her a prostitute. I'm saying if she was a strong, bold, independent woman, and some schmuck or pervert says, do X, Y, and Z or you lose your job, tell him you can stick your job where the sun doesn't shine, my friend. And the minute I leave this job, I'm going to the press and telling them what you asked me to do. How about that? That's not hard, is it? No, that's not hard. So I don't know, Mike. You know, him resigning doesn't make me think he's actually resigned anyway.
And they say he gave up his spot on a TKO thing. I don't trust that either. I don't think he gave that up either, you know. And so it's just one of those. It's like the last thing that happened where he said, okay, I'm going to take a step back. But what did he do? He asked Stephanie to come back and sit in for him.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes.
So what does he do now? I'm taking a step back to take care of this stuff, but my guy is still going to be there in Bruce Pritchard. So there you go.
Absolutely correct. I don't buy it anyway. So anyway, all that stuff aside, what did the Royal Rumble accomplish? Well, it accomplished that Cody Rhodes is going to be the head of this company. It also did something very unusual that I bet you nobody has really thought of. The last two people in the Men's Royal Rumble were former AEW champions. So basically what they said was, yeah, nobody on our roster was as good as the guys from AEW, because the AEW guys come over here and they're the last two guys. They're the ones who are really kicking everybody's ass. That really makes WWE look wonderful, doesn't it, Damage?
Yeah, it's very telling. One thing that I will take from that is they used CM Punk and Cody Rhodes as kind of like, how do I want to put it?
Puppets
kind of, you know, puppets for maybe an agenda or a narrative. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. The bottom line is this. You gave away the Rumble when you had Cody and Punk in there. I told you on the last show, on the Royal Rumble predictions, I said you've given away the Rumble when you have Cody in there with CM Punk, and they basically said, it's going to be you against me, and when it comes down, I'm going to throw you out, or I'm going to throw you out. Well, then we knew, didn't we? You gave away the ending. Congratulations. There could have been something. Can we have one Royal Rumble where there's a controversy enough so that the next pay-per-view really decides what should have happened at the Rumble or corrects something? You could have done so much better. By the way, you could have had Cody and Punk eliminate each other beforehand and have that be their WrestleMania match. Now, I know a lot of people, and you must have been around the damage, who thought number 30 was going to be The Rock.
Everybody around me, for rows up and rows down, left to my right, where everybody was waiting for The Rock to come out number 30. And we had a wasted spot. I mean, we had a total wasted spot with McAfee. So that's why we thought The Rock was going to be number 30.
Yeah, instead it's the returning Sami Zayn, which is great. Sami's very popular, but you know he's not winning. You know he's not winning. So it was everything was anticlimactic. Everything was. It's just a shame. Here's why I'm giving the Rumble a low grade. Yeah, there was some botch fest in the women's. Yeah, the four-way match was a little lethargic. Yeah, I hated the ending of the Logan Paul KO match. But overall, the wrestling was okay. The problem is wasted opportunity. The potential that this event had to ignite a WrestleMania that was going to make people literally bounce up and down in their seat was huge. And at every turn, you took the easiest, most predictable, least exciting way to do it. And your job is the exact opposite. Your job is to say, what's the very most exciting thing we can get out of this? How do we squeeze every last drop of juice out of this orange? And you didn't even come close. You didn't even try. You just said, we got plenty of oranges, so one squeeze is all we need. Throw it away. It's a waste. The opportunities that you had to set feuds, to set WrestleMania matches, to promote talent that you say, oh, this is going to be great if this person, you know, is here or whatever, or this feud is going to start, or, oh, there's some controversy here, was vast. Was absolutely vast. And you did nothing. You did absolutely nothing. You played the safest hand you could possibly play, the most predictable hand you could possibly play. You negated every other person that wasn't a part of your very top matches or your very, very top scheme. When this was the perfect opportunity to set the table for your mid-card matches, you didn't do any of that. So you wasted all your opportunity. And I think that's a damn shame, Todd, because a lot of opportunity was there.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this is they picked the safest hand for that Royal Rumble. You know, like you said earlier, I was hoping for Gunther to win, and I had my hopes to heaven to win this whole thing. They have like something different this year for the Royal Rumble, but nope. Cody Rhodes, we're gonna take the safe way for him to be a winner.
Yeah, and listen, I like Cody. I've said this a million times. Cody Rhodes is, in fact, the future of this company. He's the guy that they eventually want to put out there as their spokesman, to put out there as their role model, to put out there as the guy that goes around and shakes hands at business meetings and goes to the morning shows and does the news things. And it's obvious. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you got to make it less predictable. It can't be just a coronation. Now, there are some people saying he's not going to win at this WrestleMania either. Well, if he doesn't, his star power is going to fall. You're going to make him look silly. What are you going to do? Another thing where there's interference? Another thing where there's whatever? People have had enough of that. You've squeezed all the juice out of that orange. Roman Reigns didn't even get a huge reaction. You just heard. From a guy who was there, he didn't even get that huge of a reaction. His heat has died down. It's time for Roman to go away for a while, come back as a face. Get the bloodline back together as faces and go after a very powerful heel team that has formed up till then. Reunite his cousins, and we'll see that. But this ain't it. Roman was at his peak with Sami Zayn. Right after that Sami Zayn thing, people were dying to see him lose. That's when you had to strike. And you didn't. And now you're going to strike when the heat's down. You've made the wrong decision because he was not able to maintain that heat. Because he went away for too long, and he's not on TV very much. And you can't just have Paul Heyman every 5 seconds saying, call Roman Reigns. That doesn't give you heat. Jimmy Uso has not helped at all, being goofy, half-whatever. Solo hasn't helped at all because he went from indestructible henchman to mid-carder. So they don't seem like a formidable unit anymore. They seem like a disjointed whatever, mishmash of mid-carders, with Roman as a leader when he shows up once in a blue moon. So for Cody to beat him now doesn't have the same impact as it would have before. That's why I would have said, give Cody the heroic role. Give Cody the idea. Let's say Cody wins. Let's say you do this. Okay. They say, Marcus, pull us out of this hole. But you can't change the result of the Royal Rumble. Okay. I'll pull you out of the hole. Gunther damn near kills Kofi Kingston. And then proclaims, this is exactly what I figured this country had to offer. This is an ex-WWE champion. And I disposed of him like he was nothing. Just like I've disposed of everybody else in this country who was supposed to be something. Chad Gable was your Olympic gold medal hero. I disposed of him like he was nothing. Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, I beat them both at the same time. This country is filled with lazy people who don't have work ethic, who don't have the athletic ability, and it's time to face the facts that we're superior. And then have Cody Rhodes say, you know something? It would be very easy for me to come out here and challenge Roman Reigns because I want to beat Roman Reigns so bad. And I wanted to do that for my dad, and I wanted to do that for my fans, and I wanted to do that for me. But I can challenge anybody I want, I guess, and I'm going to challenge Gunther. I'm going to challenge Gunther's championship. Because if that's really what you think, you're wrong. I'll finish my story. I got time to finish my story. I'm going to finish Gunther's at WrestleMania because I'm going to prove he's wrong. People would say, see, he put the interests of the country ahead of his own interests. He's a hero. He's an American hero. That way you've solved the problem, Tom. And at the same time, now you say, well, who's going to take on Roman? Who's going to take on Seth? So you've solved the problem.
Yeah, and I definitely like that. That definitely piques my interest. But I like this. What would be so wrong? And I think we've said this before, at least you guys have. What would be wrong with Gunther coming out and saying, you know, Gunther winning the Royal Rumble and coming out that on Raw saying, I've beaten everybody. I'm the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. To this right now, at this particular point, this belt means nothing. And relinquish it.
Right.
Yep. Said, I'm going for the heavyweight championship. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yep, that would be fine. Then you could have had a tournament that ends at WrestleMania with who's the new champion. Absolutely could have done that, too. There's a wealth of good ideas that doesn't always have to come down to Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns damage.
Absolutely. I do like your idea, even though I was happy with Cody winning the Rumble and going to face Roman. I do like alternative ideas as well, because, again, WrestleMania is going to be very predictable. But Cody going up against Gunther is, you know, like Hulk Hogan going up against the Iron Sheik or Sergeant Slaughter
right.
during the Iraq War.
And do you remember when that Intercontinental belt was held by Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, and they were always like the next top guy? Why can't Cody Rhodes say, listen, this is, you know, this is a great spot. I'm going to bring real prestige to this Intercontinental belt now. He's a major star.
The Intercontinental title was the workhorse championship. It was always the next in line to the heavyweight championship. That's what it was supposed to be. It was your workhorse champion.
Absolutely. And it could be again. There's a lot of alternatives they could have done, Mike. And again, I think they just took the safest hand, and it's a shame.
Right. He could have done the same thing for the Intercontinental Championship that John Cena did for the U.S. Championship.
Yes.
You know, with the whole
exactly.
U.S. Championship challenge or whatever it was at the time. I mean, think about it. And look, you could, if you want, okay, you want Gunther to take a step up. You're going to have to take, you know, and going after maybe a world championship or whatever. You're going to have to get that thing off of him somehow. Why not give it
right.
to Cody and let him take the prestige? You know, Gunther takes the championship relatively soon. Then Cody comes back and takes that championship from Gunther as well. There you go.
The thing about it is, Damage, think about it this. You're a Cody Rhodes fan. Which would you rather see? Cody Rhodes coronated at WrestleMania as the Universal Champion, or Cody Rhodes come out and say, it would be easy for me to do that. It would be easy for me to go into WrestleMania with Roman Reigns. I know that's what you all want to see, kind of, and I want to do that too. Selfishly, I want to do that. I want to finish my story. I've always come out here and said my story was the most important thing. And then I'm listening to Gunther talk about this country and talk about its athletes and everything, and I remembered one thing that's very important to me, and that is my dad was not just named the American Dream. My dad was the American Dream. And for him to crap on it is the same thing as crapping on my dad. It's the same thing as crapping on our legacy. And I'm not gonna allow it to happen. So for that reason, I'll finish my story another time. This is the story I need to finish now. I think fans would get behind that tremendously, Damage.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. From a fan's perspective, from a fan's opinion, I like the Cody being coronated champion at WrestleMania because he gets that big WrestleMania moment, standing up on the ropes and the fireworks going off. It's like, you know, but from a business
mm-hmm.
perspective, I can go along with your idea with Gunther from a business perspective. But I'm just talking to you from a personal fan, the personal Cody fan.
Well, here's the problem.
Am.
Here's the problem, Mike.
Yeah.
When Cody finishes his story, where's the next story? There isn't one. That's what I worry. And then you're going to hear Cody Rhodes has handed everything, just like you heard it with Roman Reigns. Remember when that happened to Roman Reigns? Oh, naturally he's winning. Oh, naturally, of course. That's going to happen to Cody if they don't start making some plans. This would be a speed bump where he says, look, I'll get there eventually, guys, and you'll be with me when I do. But this is my first step. Every story has chapters. Maybe I tried to skip a few chapters. Maybe I need to do this. Then you can elongate that story. Because no matter what he says, he could literally say, Roman Reigns may say he's the Universal Champion. I'm the Intercontinental Champion, and this belt means more because of the way I'm defending it. Because of the honor I'm bringing to it, while he's letting Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso fight his battles, I'm not. So you decide who's the most important champion. Then if he got under Roman Reigns' skin, you know he's got next year's WrestleMania. If you want to do it, or you know, we got an event down the road, or you got whatever you want, but try to stretch the story out more because the story is why Cody Rhodes is popular. Damage.
Absolutely. And don't forget, we have Perth coming up. So something,
yes.
something, you know, something big could happen at Perth. They have to have something.
Well, Roman's not going. We know that. Roman's not going to Australia. In fact, Roman's not doing another single match until WrestleMania. So expect no heat. This is why I'm saying I don't think it does Cody any favors. It's, oh, the inevitable. Oh, yeah, they'll go and they'll do some moves. Big deal. It doesn't matter. Whatever moves they do, however much trouble Cody's in, it doesn't matter because he's winning. I don't know how that does Cody any favors. That's why I say I don't even know if it's best for Cody. If you really want what's best for Cody, let's stall the story out a little bit. Let's stretch it out. Gunther has been unbeaten in I don't know how long. Roman Reigns has been beaten like a drum. No, he hasn't been pinned, but Jey Uso technically pinned him in a tag team match. Five or six people should have won. LA Knight should have won. Randy Orton should have won. AJ Styles should have won. Drew McIntyre should have won. Everybody that goes up against him should have won. That's not the case with Gunther. Gunther's beaten him clean. So the first person to beat Gunther clean is going to be a big deal, much bigger than Roman Reigns, in my opinion. That's why I'd save that spot for Cody, because I think it's actually better for his career. So we'll see. Give this a rating, though. Again, there were some botches. Again, there was some interesting, weird, less than exciting booking. But overall, the wrestling was okay. My big problem is with missed opportunity. And when the Royal Rumble is all about the road to WrestleMania and beginning opportunities, beginning storylines, beginning feuds, even if it's minor feuds, even if it's mid-card feuds, whatever it happens to be, extraordinarily important that you use the Rumble to do that. You did not use either Rumble to do that. In fact, the Rumble muddied the issues in the women's division because I don't know how you're going to get to the storyline where Bayley's going to challenge EO and have it make sense. Let's see how you write your way out of this one. So for that reason, I can't give it any more than a C-. I'm going to give it a C-, Mike. What's your thoughts on the Rumble?
Yeah, I got to give it a C- as well. And what basically I have to say about this is if everything is true and then making a deal with New Japan and there's a possibility that they're going to make a deal with Impact, then something good is going to come out of this thing, you know, out of this almost piss poor thing. So C minus for me as well. And I got to agree with you. And as far as one other thing about this whole Cody Rhodes versus Gunther thing, think about this. Not only could you have a spot for Cody Rhodes and Gunther, but you could get the other two guys involved in the match, Vinci and what's his name, and if they get involved, then Cody Rhodes is going to have somebody on his side to help him out because he's not going to be able to climb over. He shouldn't be able to climb over 3-on-1, right? So
right, and that's why we said the OC could be that way if we turned AJ heel. Yeah, exactly. Again, you sit down at your writers' meetings and you flesh all this stuff out instead of just saying, Cody wins, right? Yeah, yeah. Okay, everybody, Bayley wins, right? Yeah. Okay, well, that's a safe hand. Okay, let's go eat. That's kind of what the writers' meetings are like. I'm tired of it. Writers have to say, well, we know what's expected. Is there a plausible way to make it unexpected, even if it's expected? Is there a way that we can do something and swerve people? Is there a way we can get to the same result but a different way? Something creative. That's why they call it creative. It's not creative if an 8-year-old can say, I know what's happening. That's not creative. All right, Todd, what's your rating on this Royal Rumble?
I got to give it a C- as well.
So we got 2 C-. I'm going to go to Tom, and then I'm going to go to the guy that was actually there. Tom, what is your rating on this Royal Rumble?
I am here. My rating on this Royal Rumble, I'm going to give it slightly higher. I did enjoy, regardless of the botches, I did enjoy the Women's Royal Rumble. I think that they did a good job with, you know, a lot of the things that happened. I did enjoy it more than the men's. But as far – and the wrestling was good with the rest of the matches. I'm going to give it a C.
Okay, now we're going to go to the guy that was actually sitting in a seat there in Florida, and then afterwards we're going to go with our worst and best moments. So, Mike, first off, what is your damage? What's your rating this week? Not this week, but for this Royal Rumble.
I just want to make a quick comment that we haven't talked about. The reaction that Jey Uso gets when he comes into the arena has been has been getting crazier and crazier. Unless your arm was broken last night, everybody's arms are waving up and down. I mean, it was crazy. And that was his entrance was crazy. I'm going to give you two ratings. I'm going to give you my live rating, which I'm going to give it a strong B because I was there and I was caught up in the excitement. When I got home, watched it on Peacock, I am going to agree with you on a C-.
Yeah, and I agree with you on Jey Uso. I don't know why Jey Uso isn't being pushed more. It's quite obvious that he's someone who, A, he's one of their best people on the mic. He could potentially be their best overall actor. And his wrestling is solid, and his crowd reaction is tremendous. What more are we waiting for? What more do you want Jey Uso to do? Jey Uso is every bit as much the future of this company as anybody else in it, based on this crowd reaction. But if you keep having him be an also-ran, it's going to start petering down. Now, you might be feeding him to Gunther. I don't know. Maybe it's him and Gunther going at each other. Maybe Jey will be the first person to beat Gunther. I don't know. But I will tell you this. I would have loved, loved. Maybe it would be corny, but let me say this. I would have loved to see Jey Uso and the man who brought him back to SmackDown, Cody Rhodes, be the last two people in the ring. And when push comes to shove, Cody Rhodes steps out of that ring and says, maybe you should finish your story first. What a great ovation, because Jey Uso's story is far from finished, too. And if anybody should beat Roman Reigns, it should probably be Jey Uso. He deserves it. He's the one who put the bloodline. Sammy and him put the bloodline on the map. It was not Roman Reigns. It was not Solo. It was not Paul. It was not Jimmy. It was Jey and Sammy. And Jey was the one who caused all of the drama, all of the tension, all of the dramatic stuff to happen, him and Sammy. And Jey Uso should finish that story. And Jey Uso should have at least a short title run. I think he deserves it more than Cody, to be quite honest with you, because he's the one who captured this entire thing that for a while was the hottest thing going. And Mike Damage is absolutely correct when he says Jey Uso gets the best reaction of anybody in the WWE when he comes out, Mike. It's definite.
Yeah, I mean, when you get people yeet, you know, that is, when that word gets over, nobody knows what the hell that is. You have to look it up. It's not anything bad, but you have to look it up to find out what it means, you know. But it's over. That thing is over. He got that thing over, and to the point of, did you see what kind of T-shirt Jimmy was wearing?
Yeah, Jimmy has the no yeet. Yeah, Jimmy has the Ghostbusters no yeet. Yeah.
Yep. So, hilarious. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You're right about Sammy.
All right, let's quickly go to our top moments. My top moment of the Royal Rumble. Well, it's not Jade Cargill. I know everybody's going to say Jade Cargill picked up Anaya. That's no big deal to me because, like I said, Bianca Belair picked up Otis. I guess my top moment of the Royal Rumble probably would have been – see, that's the problem. It's hard to say what the top moment was. I guess the initial RKOs to everybody when I didn't think everybody was going to do their finisher and I thought Randy Orton was going to win, I thought that's how he was going to win. He hit three RKOs. Nobody else can get to him. I thought, this is it. This is the ending. Randy Orton's actually winning the belt. So they fooled me on that, so I'll give that as my top moment. Tom, what was your top moment?
My top moment is kind of a little bit of a comedy one because I was entertained by it when Nia Jax got thrown out and there was like a standstill and Becky Lynch looked shocked and then she had like and then she just like smiled cheesy. That cracked me up. She was like, "Oh, I got my wish."
Okay, let's go to Todd. Todd, what was your top moment?
Braun Breaker came out, eliminated 7 or 8 participants in that Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it does look like Braun Breaker is going to be the big future star here as well. Mike, what was your top moment? And then I'm going to go to Damage. Who was there?
The return of Naomi and the reaction of Naomi and Natty. And add to that, I love the dueling power moves by what's her name and Ivy Nile.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Very good spot. Naomi's reaction was great. I don't think she was expecting it. I think it caught her off guard, and what you saw was pretty genuine. So that was a nice moment. Okay, I'm pretty sure, Damage, I know what your top moment is, but let's talk about it anyway.
If you wouldn't mind, I want to give you 2 if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay, obviously my top moment was Cody Rhodes standing on the second rope pointing towards the WrestleMania sign with the fireworks going off. Okay, everybody knows that. And I apologize. I'm probably going to get flagged for that. But my second top moment, and I bet everyone's going to, kind of agree with me how funny it was. R-Truth coming to the ring thinking the Royal Rumble was a tag team match. Everybody was laughing their butts off. We were in stitches over that. It was crazy.
You know what, Damage? I would have loved that a lot more if it didn't cost Valhalla her credibility. If they'd let Valhalla get in there anyway and stay in for 5 minutes or so, or maybe toss somebody out, I would have said that was great. But when you use that comedy routine to basically just wipe Valhalla off the face of the earth like she's nobody, when probably she's 4th or 5th best worker in the women's division, that pissed me off. So while I thought it was funny to begin with, as soon as I realized they're using that to just get Valhalla out in 10 seconds, I was not happy. I also wasn't happy. I really thought that R-Truth would throw out Damian Priest. I didn't think it would be the vice versa. I didn't think Damian Priest would throw out R-Truth. But I can see where it was funny. Listen, I thought the other moment was funny on SmackDown where he said, does this mean I have to quarantine after he picked his number? I thought that was fantastic. R-Truth's been doing a fantastic job. Little bit of a disappointing Royal Rumble, folks. We'll see what happens on Monday night if they can rehab this at all. My thanks to everybody for joining us on the panel today. That was awesome. Thanks for joining us in the chat, and thanks for listening. And we'll see you on Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw Report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.